Welcome to Between the Lines. I'm Esther Hatch. I'm here with Sean Bessie, Tracy Hunter Abramson, and Sarah M. Eden. And today we are going to talk about one of my very favorite things about writing, and also one of the hardest things about writing, to be completely honest. We're going to be talking about comparison and also colleagues, like what are authors to each other in this career? Like a lot of careers, you go into an office and you have coworkers. We don't exactly have that, but we do get to know so many other authors. And how do we see them? Are they our coworkers? Are they our competition? Are they our colleagues? So I'm excited to delve into this topic because it's a really important one, and one that I think the longer you're in the career, the more things start to become a little bit more clear on how we can all help each other and feel good about our own writing and not get into the pitfalls of comparison. So that being said, what is it about writing as a career that sometimes makes authors feel like they do have to compare or that we're in a competition?
I think part of what has made that a struggle for me is so much about writing is subjective. You know, whether or not if you wrote a good book, whether or not you told a good story, so much of that is subjective. And you could get 50 great reviews and 50 horrible reviews and 50 meh reviews. And like, it's so hard to know. But there are moments when things happen that feel more objective, like an award or a great review or good sales numbers. And that feels like something we can measure. And so I think sometimes we fall into the trap of feeling like we're competing with other authors or comparing ourselves to them, when maybe they have those moments where they get those more objective responses that maybe we're looking for ourselves. It can be easy to think, well, why didn't I win that award? Or why didn't I get that positive review? Or why didn't my book sell as well as that one did? I think because we're looking for something that tells us we're doing a good job, and it's so hard to find in such a subjective career field.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. I think Sarah just really hit the nail on the head, because comparison can kill us, really. It affects our writing when that gets into our heads. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, all authors want their readers to love their books. I mean, we all have that same goal. And so when we do see other people receiving a lot of accolades or receiving an award that you secretly hope that you would receive, it's natural to feel let down if your book doesn't reach that subjective standard. And if you're competitive by nature, that makes it even harder, I think. So it is something, it's a real thing, and it's something that we have to be aware of, and something that we have to hold ourselves back from too, and kind of talk ourselves out of, I think.
And I think also it can be easy to forget that no single author can write enough books for every avid reader out there. And so, you know, when we look at somebody's success as a reason we didn't get the same success, somebody else got the agent you wanted or that got the contract you wanted or whatever, it doesn't mean that we can't have it too. And so it's really kind of tilting our view a little bit of thinking that rather than somebody else's success being something we didn't get, it's something that we potentially could get in the future, and it's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. I love how you said that, like it's something to work towards maybe, mm-hmm. instead of feel bad about, because right. ultimately we want to enjoy this career. We want to feel right. good about our writing. What are some other tricks you guys have for avoiding those feelings of comparison or why didn't my book measure up or something like that? Do you have more tricks? I'd love to hear them.
Well, for me, I feel like one of the things that has helped me the most is getting to know my fellow authors, my colleagues. Because when you know them as a friend, you have a good idea of how much work they put into their book. And so you don't begrudge them their success. I remember sitting at the table across from Esther's this last time the Whitney Awards came around, and she won. And we were so genuinely thrilled. I mean, right. just so thrilled, because it's Esther. So just that friendship is so grounding and so positive. It helps in every area, but in particular in this one, I think.
Yeah, that is so true. And thanks for mentioning that moment at the Whitney's, because I was there and all of the people that you could say were my competition for that award, I love all of them.
Yeah,
and right. Would have been so ecstatic for any of them to win. Someone actually sent me a video of one of the other finalists just smiling and clapping when my name was called. And I just love that there can be that right. beautiful relationship of really cheering each other.
Yeah, on. I think so. You and I actually got teary together on that. I remember giving you a hug and we were both crying and it was just yeah. so neat. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is fun that you have those awards. It really is. Those are sometimes hard because, like I said, I was good friends with everyone in that group and it's tricky. It's very right. tricky.
Well, because you know how it feels yeah. to be a little disappointed.
Yeah.
And so you don't want them to feel that, but no. you're also happy. But yeah, it is. It's tricky.
And then you deal with, do I invite my husband? Do I not? Because if I win, then it might be fun to have him there. But if I don't, then it's like, get out of here. Like, let me just go congratulate exactly. my friends. there's lots of tricky things about stuff like that. I think like the number one thing that helps me with comparison, I would say, where if I don't want to feel bad about myself personally, when I see someone else, and this isn't necessarily winning awards or anything, but just like sometimes people just write beautiful things, like beautiful things. And I read them and it's hard, like this is not good, but it's hard for me sometimes that I'm like, why can't I write that well? And so the number one thing I have tried to really tell myself is never to compare a weakness of mine to someone else's strength, because that's so often the parts that I see in other books that make me feel like, why can't I? It's I'm looking at something where this person just really excels at beautiful prose or something, and I might not, but I excel at other things. And so it's really not fair for me to compare the things that I'm not good at to something that someone else is just amazing at. And once I can step back and do that, it allows me to cheer people on and be like, look at this amazing thing that mm-hmm. this author can do,
right.
instead of looking at it as like, why can't I do that? So that helps me a lot.
And how often are we actually comparing their final book to our first draft? You know, so I have to remind myself of that too, that I'm not seeing all the messy that got them to that point. So
yeah,
I don't need to compare their, you know, crisp, pristine final product to my messy method while I'm getting there. For me, one of the things that helped me the most to get past this, I'm an advocate for therapy. I'm just going to throw that out there. There are amazing, amazing things that can be accomplished that way. And this actually is something that came out of therapy. the reason I struggled so much with comparing myself to other authors, to the awards I didn't get, or the great reviews someone got that I wasn't getting, or, you know, that kind of thing, had very, very little to do with wanting other readers or other writers or critics to believe in me. My main problem was I didn't believe in myself. And I was looking to someone to convince me that I was good enough. And that's never going to happen if you don't believe it. And so what my therapist had me start doing was what we call praise from my harshest critic. And every time I finish a book, I am challenged with writing a review that is just about what I am proud of in that book, because that's praise that actually means something. I'm tearing up, but it means a lot because it's the person I struggle the most to believe in, you know, is myself. And if I can praise myself, then I don't need that validation, because I can look back at a project and say, I am really proud of this. And I did do this well, and I improved in this. And I have a whole notebook just of praise for my harshest critic, where I remind myself of what I've done and what I should be proud of. And it helps when you're trying to fill that well, because you're never going to fill it with praise and awards and accolades if it's dry because you aren't filling it yourself.
I love that.
I love that so much.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it really, Sarah brings out such a great point that it really comes down to who we are and who we choose to be in this business. Because ironically, when I have focused on what can I do to help other authors, it makes it so much easier to not compare. Like Sean mentioned earlier, just when we start seeing them as friends, you're so excited for your friend to do well that they're no longer your competition. And right. A lot of times it backfires in a funny way, because like you'll go to do something for somebody and then you get benefits from it at the same time. Like, wait a minute, that wasn't the plan. Like I was doing things where, hey, you should follow these people or whatever. And then somebody in one of my groups was like, you know, Tracy never asked for anything for herself. So we ought to go do this. And like, I think she was like, everyone should go follow her on Goodreads or whatever. And all of a sudden I'm like, wait, what did that happen? But it was so fun to, like, I never thought about being on the receiving end, you know, but it was just a fun, you know, just doing things for other people, it again, can kind of bond you. But I really think all of us are so blessed that the majority of people we associate with in this industry are more inclined to put a hand out than to be our competitor. And we're truly blessed in that way.
I totally agree. And some of my best friends are now in this community, and they're people who understand my life in ways that other people can't. And hearing Sarah talk about what it's like to wait for the world to tell you you're an author, like I did that for so long. Right. So I think it was 5 books in before I finally wrote one where I felt like I'm proud of this book. And it doesn't really matter what anyone else says, because there's something about when you first put a book out there, you are waiting for someone to tell you you're an author. I don't know, like, it didn't matter that the publisher took it, or some people are self-publishing. So I think that's probably even a harder situation for that. But it really doesn't matter what the world says. Like, if you're putting books out into the world, you are an author, and no one can stop you from that except for yourself. So I might have to start making those harshest reviews from my harshest critics, if nothing else, to remember why I love certain books. Like sometimes exactly. You get a few years away from it and you forget some of the things that you're really proud mm-hmm. of yourself for doing. I love that so much. Any other tricks that we can do? Actually, sorry, I think we got some tricks. I was going to say, I wanted to hear a few more like experiences, because I feel like we've all seen this where you specifically help someone and it actually ended up helping you, or just how it happens in this career that when you think you're giving up something, actually you gain others. Like, why are we not really in competition here?
Well, I think it's so much of what we've already touched on. As we reach out to other authors, other people in the community, and make these very human connections and gain these friendships, you have this built-in support system. You have people who understand what you're working on, people who cheer you on when you need it. This is a profession that is so isolating by nature that if we only view other authors as our competition, we will just become more isolated. But if we look at other authors as community and as support and as friends, then suddenly we're not so alone in it. In the first year of the COVID pandemic, and you know, when people weren't going anywhere and we weren't doing our usual events, I ended up getting together on Fridays over Zoom with a bunch of other writers. We called it COVID Friday, which is kind of a depressing name, but so we called it. And at first we were saying, well, we'll just get on and then we can write. And it's just a way to kind of be accountable. But what ended up happening is we'd spend that hour just talking about life, talking about challenges, talking about what we were facing and dealing with. And it created a connection that even now we're, you know, a couple years out from there, these are still, you know, people that I've come to know as people, and I cheer for their successes as writers, and they will never feel like competition to me because we've connected in a very human way. And I think there's power in that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that other writers understand our struggles better than anybody else, because they know what it feels like for the writing to be hard or the editing to be hard. And so they know how to offer support. And I think I've mentioned this to you before, but so that several years ago, I was in Hawaii and working on a book, and I was just really struggling with the momentum. And I just reached out to Tracy, and that's all it took. Every single day, she checked in with me, despite our time difference, to help me keep going, keep going, keep going. And, you know, I had family there, but they just don't think quite the same way. They don't realize exactly how it works, but other writers get it.
And it's funny because I know Sean and I, we were recently working on another Falcon Point novel. And it's so much fun to, that's one thing that I absolutely love is being able, I mean, co-authoring isn't something that's going to work for everybody, but that is something that can be, it was just really a joy. I find that my writing gets better when I'm writing with Sean or another author, or even just in the critique groups, it's the same thing. We're trying to help one another. So that really helps a lot. But I find it motivating, like when you do even accountability partners, like we're cheerleaders for each other. And ultimately that's what it comes down to is it's that human connection. It's wanting what you is creating friendships and it's wanting the best for everyone around you.
Right.
Yeah. I want to go back a little bit to what Tracy said earlier about how no one author can write enough books for everyone. And I think sometimes we forget that. And I think another thing we sometimes forget is that if someone writes a book similar to ours, not the same, but similar in the same genre, let's say like the Regency era, like Bridgerton's movies coming out and how big they were. And those were based off of books. But those books and their popularity actually exploded the genre. And there are other examples of that. I mean, vampire books and Twilight, you know, I mean, so sometimes I think we look at it and we say like, well, why did Twilight do so well when my vampire book is just not, I haven't put it out yet. But actually it's a benefit to you that it did so well. And I think that's something to remember too, that excellent books in your category actually lift the whole category. And I think that's an important to remember too. So I have a question for our listeners today is, have you ever found an author from another author? I feel like that happens more maybe than we think. And what are some of your favorite authors you've found that way? So thank you so much, ladies. Like this is such a near to my heart situation with writing. And I could see that it was a little bit for all of us, but I think it's an important topic. Thanks everyone for listening in. Join us next time on Between the Lines.